Welcome back to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Dr. Charlotte Yeh was crossing the street in Washington, D.C. 2.5 years ago when she was struck by a car. Her account of the accident and the subsequent encounter with the U.S. style of healthcare appears in the June edition of Health Affairs. The title of her piece is "Nothing is Broken," but those words of reassurance give little comfort. The piece could have easily been retitled "Nothing is Broken But the Health System." Dr. Yeh has kindly agreed to talk with Clinical Conversations about her experience. She is Chief Medical Officer for AARP Services. Welcome, Dr. Yeh.
Thank you.
Your training is in emergency medicine, and there you were on the gurney and not attending the gurney. How did that role reversal feel to you?
It really was interesting because I practiced for over 20-some years as an emergency physician in academic, community, emergency departments, and always thought of myself as being very patient-focused, patient-oriented. But to be on the other side of the table was an eye-opener of how much more we have to do. Interestingly enough, I really just wanted to be a patient and not be a doctor.
Well, you ended up, I mean, you couldn't have ended up in a better place. You're in a level one trauma center, but your essay details your observations about that. What were some of them?
First of all, that we have created a culture in healthcare that is so test-driven. So when I came into the emergency department, it was, where do you hurt? They didn't need to examine me, just where do you hurt? Okay, we'll CT this, CT that, and, you know, off you go for all the studies. Okay, that makes sense, you know, make sure there's no life-threatening injuries. But what was fascinating is when all the tests were done, the end result was coming back to my room or to my gurney and say, you know, nothing is broken. Your tests are normal, so you can go home. It had nothing to do with examining me. Could I even walk? If your test is normal, you must be normal. So we have created this very test culture, and it's about the test, not the patient.
Well, a friend, I was talking with a friend about this interview, and she suggested that I ask whether you were surprised by the care you received, and were you under the impression that patients were treated differently?
I was surprised because, you know, in the era in which I practiced emergency medicine a number of years ago, when patients would come in, you would stop, find out exactly what happened. They could not understand I was hit by a car initially. They kept thinking I was sitting in the car and were either driver or the passenger. No, I was walking across the street when the car hit me. So I was surprised of not... of asking questions but not really hearing what I was saying. Two, that the test was more important than actually examining me. In fact, it wasn't until the third day of my hospitalization that actually a resident came in and said, you know how we do the primary survey and then the secondary survey and then we're supposed to examine you? We just realized that we need to come in and examine you 3 days later.
Oh goodness!
Oh.
And your complaint, your primary personal complaint was that your knee was hurting like crazy, and they did an MRI of almost everything but your knee.
Yeah, well, they CT'd everything, okay. X-rayed the knee, and the bottom line is nothing is broken, so clearly you can go home. And I'm looking at my knee, big and swollen, and I know as an emergency physician. Remember, I just wanted to be a patient. So I'm looking at a fat, swollen knee going, you know, you don't have to have anything broken, but your knee can be damaged enough to make it hard to walk.
Yeah.
And the answer was, no, that's okay. You know, you can still go home. It took a day before, and with repeated requests for an orthopedist to actually come in and examine my knee and identify that, yes, it probably was a ligament tear. The MRI could be done then. But since I lived in Boston and was traveling in D.C., the decision was to have the study closer to home because we know that we don't have as good information exchange across institutions.
Uh-huh. So at one point in your essay, you say that you felt processed. How so?
The process was, you come in. Do you speak English? Yes. What happened? Well, it didn't really matter what I said. They sort of decided what had happened. And then, where do you hurt? Boom, off to x-rays. No discussion, no explanation, no how are you, no real how are you feeling, other than we have a CAP score for management pain. So they did a 10 out of 10 on the HCAP scores for pain management. And then intermittent coming back, your tests are normal, we're going to watch you overnight. Oops, we don't have a bed, we'll put you in the hallway overnight, you know, 15 hours. You watch people going back and forth with no one really coming by and saying, how is the rest of you? Do you need us to contact your family? You know, where are you living so we can plan what's the best next step for you? It was simply a report out of what they had done to you, as opposed to where do we go from here.
So are you still practicing as a clinician?
No, I actually stopped practicing several years ago. I now work for AARP Services, and ironically enough, to work on improving the experience of care for the 50-plus population.
So you are in a position to make those changes. And so what are the lessons for other clinicians here? I know that there's a style, or I've heard of a style of checklisting. But are we, you know, are we checklisting our way to a processed care, or should one of the items on the checklist say to ask the patient, how you doing?
Right. So I think we have evolved, you know, whether it's the way the financial incentives have been set up, with everyone worrying about the cost of care, you know, the outcomes of care, that we have created a culture of tests, so you have an objective measurement. We've created a culture of checklists of quality metrics that you have to meet irrespective of the patient's condition, family circumstances, caregivers, et cetera, and without real regard to the patient's needs and wants. So if there is a request, it's to never forget, as physicians, to not only ask the patient what's the matter, but as my colleague Susan Levitin-Edgman often says, what matters to you? We have an opportunity to bring in the patient, family, and caregiver's perspective into the design of how we deliver healthcare, into the measurement of outcomes. You know, we measure mortality and infection rate, but we don't actually mention or measure how well are you functioning at home? How well are we returning you to living the way you want to live, living the way you were before? How well are we reducing the stress on you, your family, and your caregivers?
Yeah, finally, a final question for you, and I'll let you get back to improving care for people my age. You mentioned not being able to ride your bike or go for hikes. So how are you doing?
Well, you know, as I said, you know, it's been an eye-opener in many ways, learning a new normal and readjusting. I am enjoying life more than I ever had every day. Because I have had so much physical therapy, balance, and gait training, believe it or not, I probably am in better shape than I've ever been in my life. The challenge is learning how to live with this new normal, which means, you know, figuring out where you're going, what's the terrain like, making sure that I'm in a place where I won't trip and fall. And the kindness of my colleagues, the kindness of strangers has really been heartwarming. So while it sounds, you know, like a downer, in reality, it gives me hope. And with the stories that I can tell and others tell, the responsiveness from the medical community has been terrific, and I think we can remember that it's about us, the patient, after all.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much, Dr. Yeh, for talking with us today.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time.
That was the 170th edition of Clinical Conversations. The whole lot can be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you through the NEJM group. We'll see you next time, and I promise it will be sooner than last time. My executive producers are Kristen Kelly and Adoriano. Thanks so much for listening.